This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Here's a fact about North Dakota that kind of amazed me. The oil boom out there is so big that you can see it from space. Seriously, at night, a whole corner of North Dakota is lit up by the oil wells. Also lit up, the state's budget surplus. Taxes on oil and gas revenues have added an extra $1.5 billion to the Treasury. There is, of course, no shortage of thoughts about how to spend it, including, as Sam Harnett reports, from conservationists.
The top of Buck Hill is one of the highest points in Theodore Roosevelt National Park. Hiking to the summit at night, you can see the orange flicker of oil flares and the blaze of blue light from a new truck depot.
There is quite a bit of oil development in this area.
Ranger Eileen Andes says the park is part of the largest national grasslands in the United States and one of North Dakota's top tourist attractions. Now, with the fracking boom, there's more truck traffic, light pollution, sound pollution, and oil wells popping up within a mile of the park border.
We're not against oil and gas development, but we believe that the development can be done in a way where park resources aren't adversely impacted.
To contend with the oil industry, conservationists need cash. Their plan? To tap the mighty gush of fracking tax revenue. But they're not asking permission from the conservative state legislature. Nope, they're going straight to the people.
There's an effort now in North Dakota proposing an amendment to go on the ballot.
Eric Rosenquist works for the Nature Conservancy. He says the ballot initiative operates like this. It takes 5% of existing tax revenue from oil extraction to protect things like drinking water and wildlife habitat. Much of North Dakota's prairie belongs to private ranchers, and some are selling off their land to developers. Rosenquist takes me out in his pickup truck to see all the recently constructed homes north of Bismarck, the state capital.
So you can just look out over the horizon, you can see it's coming. And often it's in, a couple-acre ranchettes.
A year ago, there were no houses on these rolling, grassy hills. It was just open Missouri River prairie. Lewis and Clark wintered here on their cross-country expedition. And today, it's home to all kinds of wildlife, like these guys. Buffalo.
So in a lot of those grunts you're hearing, those are the cows and the calves keeping track of each other.
But conservation is harder to do in North Dakota than it is in most states. Nonprofits need the okay of two boards and the governor to acquire land. And voters, like Eric Osmonsted, they don't want the government managing property.
We pride ourselves here on not having a lot of government ownership of property, and we'd like to keep it that way.
Osmonsted is the former president of the North Dakota Farm Bureau, a strong political force in the state. It opposes the ballot initiative, fearing that the money would make conservationists too powerful and that they'd buy up valuable farmland. Eric Rosenquist says that's not an option in North Dakota.
Coming up and buying up the countryside, it's just not going to happen. It's not socially accepted in North Dakota, and it's not financially feasible.
Especially as that undeveloped land becomes more expensive. Percentage-wise, North Dakota now has the fastest-growing population in the country. In Bismarck, I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.